Welcome to She Can, the podcast, where the goal is for you to leave each episode feeling empowered to go after what you want and knowing that if she can, so can you. Let's get started. Hi, friend. Today we are joined on the podcast by an expert, no less than ITV's This Morning's Feng Shui expert. Kimberly helps businesses and individuals all over the world to create a sense of calm and abundance through the art of Feng Shui, which I am so excited to hear all about. So welcome, Kimberly.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Do you know, it still makes me really smile when people introduce me like that, because I think, oh my gosh, is that really me?
Are you This Morning's Feng Shui expert?
I am indeed, which is incredible and not something that was ever part of my plan, but I'm sure we will go into this.
Yes. So let's start there. Tell me all about how you got into Feng Shui, and I know that you believe Feng Shui changed your life completely.
Yeah.
So talk to me about how you started getting into Feng Shui and why you started it as a career and what impact it had on you.
Okay, are you ready?
I am.
So I, years ago, had a career in human resources. I worked in corporate human resources for years. And the corporate world, I enjoyed it. I loved it. But I felt it was just, there was no depth to it. And so I had a complete career change and trained to be a teacher. And I was a teacher for 10 years and I taught at a land-based college. So I taught equine science and equine biology and all those things. And the college went into administration in 2019. And because what I did was so specialized, I knew I had to start looking for something else. So I started a product-based business in February 2020, thinking that I would love to be in a people-faced role, selling products that I loved. And of course, in March, the world shut down. I had to learn very quickly how to do it all online. I was then made redundant from my teaching role because the administration, it just didn't have enough money to continue through lockdown. And so I definitely felt a shift. And I know people talk about perhaps spiritual awakenings and these really powerful things that happen. And I still don't know if it was a spiritual awakening, but it was definitely an awakening of sorts. And I just thought there must be another way to view what's going on. You know, we're in this situation, we're at home, it's really stressful, it's awful, and it's boring. You know, and I'm very much, I'm a person that lives off other people's energy. You know, teaching for 10 years, that's what kept me going. And so I started becoming much more aware of manifestation and affirmations and meditation. And I signed up to the Gabby Bernstein's month-long challenge of manifestation. And that really, it allowed me to enter this space of calm that I'd never experienced before. Even amongst lockdown, there was still that moment and I looked forward to it. I was actually quite addicted. Like I wanted that 20 minutes of my own time. So I started listening to an array of podcasts, very different ones to what I'd always listened to. And in October 21, so the whole year, I was very much learning, reading. I read all of Gabby Bernstein's books. And I listened to a podcast where they had a Feng Shui consultant on. And they were discussing how through the power of Feng Shui, this lady would be able to attract a new partner in her life. And my very cynical side of me thought, what a load of it's like, how is that even possible? So I went down this huge rabbit hole of watching all of this lady's YouTube videos. I was watching, just listening to podcasts, reading everything about feng shui that I possibly could. And the more I delved into it, the more I realized that there was this sort of segment of society that were true believers in feng shui. And they are banks, they're hotels, they are some of the largest corporations in the world that wouldn't dream of operating from an office if it hadn't have been feng shuied. You know, HSBC started building an office in Hong Kong and they built it slightly in the wrong direction. So they knocked it down and started building it again. That is how much they believe in it. Yeah. So I thought, well, there must be something in this. If these financial institutions believe in this so much, why don't we know anything about it? And I felt like the job that I was doing, the product-based business, I felt like I was doing everything that I could. I was going a million miles an hour and I felt like I was hitting a brick wall every other day. Something would happen. Something would happen. And I was manifesting so hard. I had the post-it notes on the mirror. I had, you know, in my car, I was going, you know, universe, spirit guides, angels, whoever you are, guide me in this, you know, in this direction. But I was actually really specific about my manifestation in terms of in this business, I want to achieve this. In this business, I want to earn this much money. And it never happened. And I got really frustrated with it. And then the feng shui consultant, one of a podcast, basically said that feng shui is often the missing piece of the manifestation puzzle. And I thought, wow, okay, maybe this is it. Maybe this is what I need to do in my home. And so November 21, I had my house analyzed and I put in all the remedies that they need to. And basically what an analysis is, it's like acupuncture for the home. So
okay,
it releases all the energy blocks in the home. It brings in the good energy and it gets rid of the bad energy. And, you know, I just felt our house had absorbed so much energy over the last couple of years that I felt it, you know, in this room that I'm in now, the kitchen, this is where in fact, I'm probably the only one that doesn't use this as a front door, but like my husband would come in from work in here and I felt the stress in here. I was working in here. My daughter was working next door. And after feng shuiing my house, this is my calm space now. This is where I do my podcast like this because I feel that I'm, you know, being hugged by the room and it's lovely. So February 21, I had my house feng shuied and it's all about intention. So it's a bit like manifestation. What is it that you are putting out there to the universe? What is it that you want to attract? And mine was very much about my business because, you know, I was made redundant from my teaching role. I had a very small income coming in and it was really important for me to have independence. So I had this idea that perhaps I could help other businesses with their Instagram accounts because I'd learned to do it with my business. I was forced into doing it. But now I just felt, you know what? I can go and see people. I can go and, you know, get that energy that I was craving off other people. So I had this idea just one day, you know, this little tiny download. I was driving past a shop in the high street and it basically said, go in there and ask the lady if she wants help with her Instagram. I'd never really spoken to the lady before. I went in, I bumbled my way through this conversation in my gym gear, not even looking any way professional. I was like, I don't suppose you need help with your Instagram, do you? She was like, yes, you're exactly what I've been looking for. Someone that understands the business, someone that I trust. I'd love to. Let's speak after Christmas. So I was like, wow, this is quite cool. So I had my first client. And then I had an email through to say that the lady who I did my certification with was doing, sorry, my analysis with, was doing her very last certification program. If you wanted to become a feng shui consultant, this is the last time. And you know when you get that feeling in your gut and you think, yeah, and I get goosebumps now thinking about it, this is it. but it was a huge amount of money, not something that I had because I wasn't working, and it would take a year. So it was a full commitment. You know, it was more than doing a degree. So
really? Wow.
Yeah. So, but I just knew I had to do it. So we went on holiday and I had a conversation with my husband. I thought, this is a conversation to have on holiday, you know, when we're feeling all relaxed and it's all fine. And at this point, he didn't even know that I'd feng shui my home, because I thought that maybe that was the straw that broke the camel's back and I'd finally lost it over lockdown, that I'd feng shui'd our home. So to even bring up the topic that I want to be a feng shui consultant, I think was going to be tricky. And he sort of knew the answer to the question. The answer was going to be, yes, of course, and I will help you. And I said, look, I promise I will pay you back. I will pay you back absolutely everything and more with interest, as if it's from the bank. And he sort of laughed and he was like, but how are you going to pay me back? Because you're not working. Like, well, you are, but what you're earning is nothing like what you need to pay me back. And I was like, I will do it. I promise I will pay you back. So again, I had this other download whilst I was away. And I thought, right, I'm just going to put an advert on our local Facebook page to say if anybody else needs help with their Instagram. And literally that day, I had so many messages from beautiful people to say, just to say that this is what they were looking for. And within a day, I was full. And the intention that I was full. And these were beautiful high street local shops with local people. And the intention that I had when I feng shui'd my home was that I opened up my manifestation, not from this business, I want to earn this much money. It was from any business. And actually what lockdown taught me was probably not to rely on one stream of income. I don't mind where that money comes from. I want my business to flow. I want to work with beautiful people. I want it to be completely remote, so I don't have to be tied to a desk. And I also want the energy in my home to be light, to be calm, and to be supportive. And so within a month of putting the remedies in my home, I had a business that I had no idea about before, that I was paying back my certification, my feng shui certification, doing something completely remotely so I could still go on holiday and do it. So that basically funded the whole year of me doing my certification. So I finished in November 22. And it is now April 23, and I'm now this morning's feng shui expert.
This story is mind-blowing. I had no idea that you'd only certified for 6 months.
Yes.
And you're already this morning's feng shui expert.
Yes.
It just shows you what happens when you put these things out there and you really focus on achieving what you want to achieve through whichever means possible. I've got a couple of questions about your story before we move on to actual feng shui. Firstly, the product business, what happened with that? You just decided, after just getting this gut feeling, that you're going to go to Instagram and do Instagram coaching and people's social media instead of the product business?
It still sort of ticks along in the background. It happens. It's a recurring income. But it's not something that I put my energy into. So I do have different streams of income.
So that's such a good lesson as well, because so often I think we focus on one thing and we don't listen to those little nudges that say, try that, try that, try that. And if you hadn't listened to that gut feeling that you had when you passed that shop and pulled in and went and spoke to the owner in your gym gear, then who knows where you may have been. So you finished your certification, and then how did you start actually getting clients into the business, and how do you actually work in people's homes with feng shui?
So I carried on what I'd learned with Instagram. I just put myself out there. Literally one day changed everything on my bio to being feng shui. And I started doing daily reels of just putting, you know, fun stuff out there, because I think feng shui has this misconception that it's really complicated and that it's unachievable.
Yeah.
Because if your house doesn't look like a certain way, then, you know, I'm reading a book at the minute, and if I'd gone with that, you know, I would have to move house, because if your kitchen looks a certain way, it shouldn't be like this. So I've put a bit of a spin on it. I do it as a modern day feng shui way, if you like, because feng shui is 4,000 years old.
Yeah.
So the way it was developed isn't for how we live our lives now.
Yeah.
So I simplify things. I put it into terms that busy mums can manage on a daily basis. And it normally is mums or women between the ages of probably 35 to 60, probably who I work with, who just feel, either feel that their home just doesn't feel supportive.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just get that feeling that it's four walls, but it should feel like a really supportive partner. Like, it doesn't do the stuff for you, but it's there to absolutely catch you when you fall and to watch you thrive at the same time. So being out on Instagram has really helped. And I I'm able to do what I do completely remotely. So I work with people all around the world because of the wonders of Zoom and, you know, all these things that have been developed over lockdown that we never thought we would, you know, ever want to do again. So I look at people's floor plans. We do walkthroughs with videos, WhatsApp pictures and things like that. And I work with people remotely. And I quite like that because it almost puts feng shui, it almost tests it. Because if I can come up with the theories that I can come up with about somebody's house from somebody's floor plans, the year it was built, how it sits geographically, and then put, you know, putting the magic of feng shui in it, people are often blown away about what it is. I'd like to say I'm a psychic, but I'm not, because I follow the rules of feng shui to be, to enable me to come up with these conclusions about the home. But as an example, I was working with a lady, I'm working with her now, and the analysis showed me that the house was likely to have extramarital affairs. And I'd never come up with this combination before. And I have to be really careful with what I say to people because I don't want to scare people. Sometimes it resonates and sometimes it doesn't. And I said, look, this is what's come up with your home, that it's not good for women. There's a lot of arguments and extramarital affairs. And she said, this is actually why, I've got goosebumps, this is actually why I'm working with you, because my husband has had numerous affairs and I've decided now it's time to move on. And I want the home to support me through what is going to be the hardest year of my life.
Oh my goodness. Where do you even start with that?
Right.
So I honestly, until I started following you on Instagram, I had no idea the extent of feng shui. Honestly, I know you say that sometimes it gets a bad reputation. My view of feng shui was it's this thousands and thousands and thousands of year old Chinese kind of philosophy designed for very minimalist properties, you know, and it's about where you put your furniture. I knew that water flowing was something to do with wealth, and it's to basically have good energy in your home. And it wasn't until we spoke and you described it as the missing element of manifestation that I realised the depth of it and just how powerful it can be, not just in terms of wealth, but in every aspect of your life. And also how minimal the changes can be, because we actually started chatting over one piece of advice that you gave, which was a washing basket should have a lid on it instead of an open washing basket, because all that energy of the dirty clothes and the stressful times that those clothes have experienced is kind of out in your home. And I messaged you and I was saying, is it really, look, that's part of Feng Shui? Just, it seems so much more simple than I thought it was, and so much more adaptable and able to be incorporated into our lives than I ever thought it was. So talk to me just for a moment about what exactly it is, if you were to define Feng Shui.
The best way to describe it is that there are many, many layers, and you can go from the teeny tiny changes that will actually make a huge difference. Just like you said, having a lid on the laundry bin to keep that energy in. So really, it's about seeing the energy in your home. And this sounds mad, but I sort of see energy in colors, like the colors around your home, and negative energy, fiery energy, I tend to see as red clouds maybe coming out of your, you know, your laundry bin as black, and the good energy being this lovely flow of white that just flows around your home. And Feng Shui is about keeping as much of that white energy as you can moving around your home. So anything that you find stressful, and it's very personal, then that will be impacting how you feel, which will therefore be impacting everything around you. So the layers begin from how do you feel when you enter your home? So is the pathway clear of weeds, of leaves? Does the door open easily? Like, all of these things are like little barriers stopping the good energy entering your home. So you want that really lovely, clear pathway in. And when you open your door, do you go, oh, how lovely? Or do you go, oh my God, why are there 10 pairs of shoes?
That's 17, me, that's me. Do you have a camera on the house? The door, that's exactly. Why is there stuff on the floor?
And if they leave that, yeah. Yes, totally. So again, think about that good energy coming in, that lovely white cloud like passing through. The more stuff that is in the way, the more diluted that energy is going to be, because it has to work really hard to get around all of those barriers that you put in the way. So I work with people in their homes on that level. So on an operating level, you know, the kitchen is known as a really prosperous place in our home. Stuff on the side shouldn't be around in the kitchen. And I know this is easier said than done. Plates in the sink, a dirty hob. You know, there's a very unglamorous side to Feng Shui. Cleaning the windows. I'm fanatical about cleaning windows because the good energy comes in through your home, through the front door, but also through your windows. So keeping those clean so that the energy to come in. And as much as we don't want to do it, how lovely is it when you open the curtains and you just feel, you know, even on a rainy, awful day like it is today, there's still light that shines into your home. So I go through everything like that. Yes, there are some things about placing mirrors because, for example, the energy comes in through your window. We don't want a mirror opposite that window because it would just bounce it straight back out again. So that's the theory behind the mirror placement. And then I go one level deeper, which is almost like having a personalized PT and nutrition plan, you know, that really looks at what micros you need and macros you need. I go into your home, and in your home, there are 9 different areas, and we'll use the compass to find those 9 different areas of your home. So north, south, east, west, and southwest, northeast, all of those. And all of those relate to different areas of our lives. So in each of those areas, I really go into, as I say, these number combinations, just how I found out that the house was likely to have extramarital affairs. And it's actually called flying stars. That's the method of Feng Shui that I have learned There are other methods, which again is why things are complicated. And those number combinations tell me, for example, where the best place might be to work, because you might have a really good money number combination. And it's where, you know, the lucky number 8 comes from. So if you had, for example, a room where there was 1 8, 2 8s, or even 3 8s, I'd be like, that is where you need to do all of your work, all of your business calls, everything, because that is the luckiest, most prosperous part of your home. But then there might be a place that's really negative. And so what I do is I create a report, and it's a bit like a prescription for your home. And we use the different elements. So we use fire, water, wood, and metal. And we look at, it's very specific to your home, but we use those elements to absorb the negative energy. And metal acts like this giant crystal in your home. The fire brings energy and it makes relationships bloom. The wood is this feeling of solidarity, of, you know, this upward growth and this strength in your home. And so I give you this report, this prescription that you then put in your home, but it's really subtle. As I said, I did it without my husband knowing until he found a massive weight in my daughter's bedroom. So a big metal plate, because the house, you know, our house was built in 1569. It could not be worse from a feng shui point of view. But if I can create magic in my home, I think there's no stopping anybody else in their home.
I think I just need to get you to do a consultancy in my home. It's funny because you definitely go into certain areas of your home and it's just got good vibes. You just feel... I feel calm in here, and you're not really sure why. It's nothing really particular about the decor or anything. Some rooms, I'm thinking of my daughter's room in particular, when I go in there, I just feel so at peace. So something as simple as changing rooms around, maybe you would speak to a client, for example, and you could say, so your playroom, I would suggest you make that your office, and you swap the playroom and the office. Would that kind of thing work if that was the money area?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, the thing is, you can only do what you can do in your home. So I would make the suggestions, but I don't want people to stress about it, because moving, you know, the thought of having to move a playroom to an office is quite stressful. Uh-huh. You know, there'd be a lot involved in that. But if that was an option, then yes, they would do that. But it could be as simple as making your phone calls from that room, even though it's the playroom. Okay. Or if that was the most prosperous area of your home, declutter it. Make sure that that energy is as good and as clean and it stays in there for as absolutely long as possible. Like, make hay whilst the sun shines in those areas. So what I do though is, when we look around the home, is I work with people's intentions. So for example, if somebody's intention was that their family life was quite stressful. I have a lot of people I work with whose children are really anxious. They have trouble sleeping. And they're going through quite sort of stressful times in their life. Maybe dinners are quite stressful. So I would pay particular attention then to those children's bedrooms. And by absorbing the negative energy in those bedrooms, that can really help just calm everybody down, you know, relax those shoulders. And in children's bedrooms, there are, you know, it's really tricky, because especially with young children, we want them to sleep in there. So we want it to be relaxed. They also play in there. So they have play energy in there. And they might also get sent there for time out. So then they have this angry resentment energy in there, and it all gets absorbed. So it's finding ways of making really simple tweaks in those rooms, so that, you know, the end goal is that they relax and they sleep. They can play anywhere, but sometimes we forget that. You know, I'm awful at, you know, putting my daughter's stuff away. I'm like, oh, just put it in your room, put it in your room, put it in your room. And all of a sudden there's shoes, there's school uniform, there's school bags, there's iPads, and there's a lot going on. And then we wonder why they find it hard to go to sleep at night. Mm.
So let's go from there. I'm going to ask you about some top tips that busy mums who are a little bit overwhelmed with life, maybe they, for me, I speak for myself here. When I walk into my house, I do 9 times out of 10 think, oh, why is that jacket being left there? Why is the dog is going mad? It's just all a bit hectic. So there's welly boots lying around, there's toys, there's all sorts of things. And obviously you can tidy that away, but there are obviously clear strategies that you can implement for a better use of the home. So let's start in the children's bedroom. So what kind of things can you do in the kids' bedroom to help them sleep better and to absorb that energy?
Okay, so think the first thing to think about is, could you go to sleep in that room?
Okay.
Like you said, you feel really relaxed in your daughter's bedroom, which is lovely. But just take a moment, sit on the bed and think, do I feel relaxed in here? And if the answer is no, it might be because there are toys around. So just putting them away, even if you get them to put them in a box with a lid on, like the laundry lid, you can do that. Think about the duvet colours. You know, the ideal, most relaxed setting is that perfect hotel bedroom that we never, you know, we can only aspire to have something like that at home. But there's a reason why they choose sheets that are white and that are clear, because it's that cleanliness, it's that calm vibe. Yet if you look to decorate a child's bedroom, they've probably got everything from red, blue, bright pink, you know, stormtroopers to, you know, turbo trucks, whatever it is. So even if you put a blanket over the top of that duvet, just to bring that energy down of those covers, that will help. Have a think about what's underneath their bed. You know, storage is really tight in homes at the minute, and we, you know, they have the beds with the storage under, which is amazing and super helpful. But if you are going to store stuff underneath their bed, make sure it's soft and squidgy, because that energy will come up. And it's the same in adults' bedrooms as well. I was working with a client and she had her big file folder of bills and letters and legal stuff, and that's just going to come up underneath the bed. So if you do store stuff underneath it, hoodies, tracksuits, bath mats, towels, that sort of thing, rather than toys, shoes, handbags, even school books, you know, things like that, that will also have an impact. The other thing that's really nice, and I understand that it depends on the age of your child, that can really help them feel more calm, is having a family photo next to them when they sleep. And that will really help them just feel that your eyes are over them. You're not watching them. I mean, we're always watching our children, aren't we? But that you're just there to look after them. And sometimes the position of the bed can make a difference as well. So if they do have trouble sleeping and their bed is in the middle of the room, you could try just moving it towards the side so that they have that feeling of solidarity around them. You know, if beds are underneath windows, windows are fragile. It gives them, it's quite cold. It's just that cold feeling. Whereas a good solid wall with a solid headboard just gives them that feeling that something is around them and supporting them. And for children, having, you know, against two walls, that can really help. But on the other hand, if you were single, I would say that an adult's bed should be in the middle, because you are going to be wanting somebody to be able to access your bed from both sides. Because if you had it against a wall, you'd almost be shutting that person out.
Okay. So many interesting tips and really easy to actually put into place. I'm thinking about my son's bedroom. He has a picture of the Hulk, a picture of Spider-Man, and a picture of Captain America right next to his bed. So he's literally lying asleep and there's a Hulk like over his head. That's probably not the best.
Do you know, it's really hard because kids love it. They absolutely love it. But if they are struggling to sleep and struggling to calm down, you know, even if you just moved it to the other side of the room and just put something a little bit softer around the bed, then that will probably help.
Okay, I'm on it. So what about living areas, living room? Any tips for the living room?
So think about how and why you use your living room. So in our house, ours is very much the calm down room. It's the, we talk about yin and yang in feng shui, and yin is the calm, the dim light, the lowering of energy. And I think in every home, you need that balance. If it was too yin, you'd get that feeling of depression and low mood. But if it was too yang and too bright, that can really lead to overwhelm. So most of the time, I would say a living room needs to be a lovely yin space with soft furnishings, soft rugs, soft colours, family photos, but not above the mantelpiece. Well, sorry, not above the fireplace, because the energy from the fire, and if you have photos of family above the fire, you're effectively burning the energy of the family, which is always tricky because quite often that's where we always put our family photos, is on the mantelpiece above the fire. Just something to think about. Also, the lighting in the lounge is really important, because the reason why dim lighting works is because anything below the eye level represents sunset. So that's what you want to try and replicate in your living room at nighttime, that sunset is here, we've got that calming light, and that everything is just settling down. It's all about the mood in the living room. And if you, you know, if your kids do play in there in the daytime, just put their toys behind the sofa. Even if it's just behind the sofa, it's out of your view and it's your time. You know, our time in the lounge is very much like adult time. Like it's our time to be a couple again. And, you know, sometimes we might not actually even speak and we're just watching a program, but I want the kids' stuff away and I want it to be our space.
Okay. So decluttering must come into feng shui quite a bit then, because in order to have a nice calm space, you need to declutter and get things out of your sight. Is that right?
Unfortunately, it's my number one tip, and it's the number one thing that I ask my clients to do. It's my number one chapter in the book that I'm writing. And perhaps if I explain why. So we all know we've got to do it, but it's just, and you tend to make more of a mess when you start to declutter.
Yeah, initially.
Yes. Think of that energy coming in your home, that white, beautiful, flowing energy that's just rippling through your home. The more stuff that is in the way, the less chance that that good energy is going to hang around, and the less chance that that good energy is going to get to all areas of your home. So the coats, the shoes, the bags, all of the stuff that is around. But there's also another layer to decluttering, and very much if you're trying to manifest change into your life, if you're looking for the next opportunity, whether that's family or work, think about what's hanging around that might be linked to your past that you want to change. So I found old work lanyards in my loft. I had books on my bookshelf from teaching. I have had a client who had pictures of ex-boyfriends and letters from ex-boyfriends in her home, and she was looking to meet a new partner. Sometimes clothes can also make you feel negative, and it might be because you wore them somewhere, maybe to an old job, it's your old work clothes and it just makes you feel rubbish. It might be, you know, there's always stuff in our wardrobe that we dream of fitting into, and we give ourselves such a hard time every time we see it and go, oh, I wish I could fit into that, you know, bad me for not being looking like I did before I had children. So the decluttering is not only stuff, it's stuff that holds an energy, and also stuff that doesn't work. Like what it is about us that keeps it, goes, oh, one day I'll fix it, or I'll keep that mug with a chip in it, I'll just sip from the other side and I will keep that shower gel that I got for Christmas because it's really expensive and I'm only going to use it for best. You know, use the best stuff now. Get rid of the rubbish stuff that burns your skin.
Yeah.
Just because it's, you know, £1.99. Get rid of that and just surround yourself with the nicest things that you possibly can. Feel the stuff that makes you feel good. And by getting rid of the stuff that makes you feel guilty or reminds you of things that have happened previously, get rid of it. Now, a lot of stuff can have emotional attachment, and I understand that. And so I sometimes say to people, do it in two stages. So if there is something that you're hanging on to because for whatever reason, put it in a bin bag and put it in your garage or in the boot of your car. And if in 1 month's time you haven't thought about it, then get rid of it in whatever way that you do. So don't feel that you have to, you know, one day it's there and the next it's gone. You could have a slow breakup if you like, and, you know, make peace with it and do it in two stages. It doesn't all have to be done in one go.
Such good advice. I am the world's worst for decluttering and then putting stuff in the garage, and that's where it lives until I'm ready to take it to the charity shop. Although my children see it in there and they start bringing it all back in again. So that's the only downside.
It's so hard with family members. It's so hard. And I do my daughter's room when she's not here. And then 3 months later, she's like, where's that gone? But actually, that does remind me, we often hold on to children's artwork from school. I have a client at the minute, she's got three children. She's got all of their artwork because she can't bear to get rid of it. You can take photos of it and create a photo book and have the book on your shelf rather than four big cardboard boxes per child of all of their artwork. So you can still keep hold of it, but just put things digitally rather than that physical. You know, if you've got space for it, fine, but most of us are struggling for space in the home.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such good advice. Kimberly, thank you so much. You have been a breath of fresh air. Just listening to you, it makes me feel so zen and I want to go home and sort my home out. So if people want to hear more from you, tell us about your podcast, your Instagram, your website, and where we can hear more from you.
Oh, I've loved being on. Thank you so much. If you want to hear more of the crazy world of Feng Shui, I am The Feng Shui Flow on Instagram. I have a Facebook group as well. And my podcast is also The Feng Shui Flow. And on my website, I have a free download that will give you the 9 areas of your home and how to find them and how to really look after them as well.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to download that this afternoon and I'll be walking about my house with the compass looking for where I'm going next and where I need to rejig. So thank you so much, Kimberly, for your time, and we'll see you soon.
I've loved it. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you found value in what we shared, please feel free to share it on your social media. You'll find me on Instagram at SheCanPod and at Meg McLean UK. And if you want to watch the video, you can search for SheCan the podcast on YouTube.